So why did the teddy bear say no to desserts? Because she was stuffed. And what do you call a well-dressed lion? A dandy lion. And how excited was the gardener about spring? So excited he wet his plants. Today is our last day talking about the miracles of Mark. We've talked about the miracles up to this point, the five other ones, and today we're number six in this section of miracles in Mark. And we're going to read from Mark beginning in verse 45. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. After they had crossed the lake, they landed in Gennesaret. They brought the boat to shore and climbed out. The people recognized Jesus at once, and they ran through the whole area, carrying sick people on mats to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he went, in villages, cities, or the countryside, they brought the sick out to the marketplaces. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. So remember last week we talked about the feeding of the 5,000 men plus their families, and this event takes place right after that. And so Jesus has fed the people, then he tells the crowd and the disciples to disperse and to head back to the other side of the lake. The disciples get back in the boat, they head to Bethsaida, and the people are told to return to their homes. Jesus, meanwhile, goes to a hill to pray by himself. Now don't miss this part of the story. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, takes time out of his ministry, takes time when he could be healing and teaching and preaching, and he takes time to pray by himself. In the midst of our work, in the midst of our busyness, we need to remember to take time to pray. If God, Jesus, needed time to pray, then how much more time should we be spending in prayer with our Father? The disciples, though, are on the water and they get in trouble on the water. They're rowing hard. They can't get anywhere because of the strong winds. And about 3 a.m. in one of the watches of the night, Jesus walks on the water toward them. They cry out in terror, not because of the wind and the waves, but because they think that Jesus is a ghost. He tells them to not be afraid. He gets into the boat and the winds stop. When they get to the other side, the people come to Jesus as they had flocked to him in most places that he visited and ask him for healing and want to just touch the hem of his garment so that he can heal them and provide with that healing touch. In the parallel passage of this pericope in Matthew 14, we read that this is also the time that Peter walks on water. But today we're going to focus primarily on the Mark telling of the story. Walking on water is a miracle in the Old Testament that only God himself can do. In Job 9:8, it says, "He alone has spread out the heavens and marches on the waves of the sea." And in Habakkuk 3:15, we read about God saving his people. "You trampled the sea with your horses and the mighty waters piled high." So here we see that Jesus is showing his deity, his identity as God in the flesh. Jesus is God, and as such has the same control over nature that God has. But there's an interesting part in this story when he says that in verse 48, Mark says that Jesus intended to go past them. Now, why would he walk past them instead of stopping to help them? Now, there's many possible reasons, but the best answer that I have been able to discover is that one that we've already alluded to a little bit, and it has to do with the Old Testament understanding of who God is. In several Old Testament instances, when God is going to reveal himself to someone, he passes them by. He doesn't show them his face. He wants them to see his divine power and glory, but he passes them by. You don't see anyone seeing God face to face. In fact, in Exodus 33 and 34, we read this story with Moses. And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." In 1 Kings 19, 11, and 12, we read about God passing by Elijah. And he didn't come to stand with Elijah. He simply passed by him. And so judging by these interpretations of the Old Testament revelations of God, if we think about Mark's passage in terms of these, we see that Jesus was going to pass by the disciples just as God had passed by his fellow servants. This was going to be a demonstration of God's divine majesty. It was going to show that Jesus was one with the Father. He even calls out, "I am here," using the "I am" statement, a name used by God when Moses met him at the burning bush. God himself cannot be seen, but Jesus, because of the incarnation, because of the power of the incarnation, can be seen. And so this is a divine epiphany. Jesus is showing them that he is God. And this is all happening in the deep sea, a symbolic place for dangerous storms, sinister power, where one's vision is often blinded by fear. But remember, the sea is also the site of some of Israel's most greatest deliverances. Moses parted the Red Sea and the people walked across. So the disciples here are not just following a great teacher, they are following God in the flesh. But instead of passing them by and providing them with this divine epiphany, Jesus sees them and has compassion on them because, again, they're terrified. So he changes course mid-stride to help them overcome their lack of faith. Mark says they still didn't understand the significance of the loaves and the fish, and they still don't understand what Jesus has done here by calming the winds and was going to do by walking past them. And Mark says that their hearts were hardened. The disciples seemed to be blind to the presence of God and to the presence of Jesus' power and his ability to care for their needs. They don't see the parallel between God and Jesus being God. And the fact that their hearts were hardened refers to the fact that they're unable to grasp who Jesus really is. Hearts being hardened is actually a term used for some of Jesus' opponents later on in the Gospels. The difference between the hardening of hearts of the disciples versus the opponents is that the disciples are not hostile to Jesus. They just simply do not understand yet who Jesus is. They won't really understand who Jesus is until after the resurrection. The people, however, recognize Jesus. And again, they're not recognizing Jesus as the incarnated God. They're recognizing him as someone who will heal them. Right now, that is what they see Jesus as, someone with the power to heal. Even though the disciples have seen occasion after occasion of Jesus doing things that only God can do, they still don't see him as God. They still don't identify him as God incarnate. When the disciples are on the water, their situation is dire. From the disciples' view, they're in a bad place and things are just getting worse. They're getting blown off course, they're struggling immensely, and then Jesus comes, preparing to show them the divine presence. And instead of accepting that gift and recognizing what Jesus was about to do, they panic. And I think oftentimes in our lives, when we're out in the sea, when we're feeling distress, when we're feeling anxiety, when we're feeling uncertainty, we panic as well. We're working so hard trying to row the boat ashore, trying to get out of whatever we're in, that we can't see anything else in the darkness. Perhaps we can see the others on our boat with us paddling as hard as they can as well. But perhaps we feel stuck in the middle of the sea, not making any progress against the wind. And it's in the midst of these trials that we need to take comfort in the fact that Jesus sees us in our distress. Jesus is able to see the disciples in the darkness, sees that they're struggling, and then he has compassion for them. Friends, Jesus can see your struggles right now. He can see you. Don't think that you're in this alone, because Jesus can see you and Jesus has compassion for you. He doesn't want you to suffer unduly. But there are times when we need to struggle in order to truly see who Jesus is. The disciples were so focused on the wind and so focused on their problems that when Jesus finally does appear, they respond with fear. Jesus meant to pass them by and give them assurance, but instead, in their distress, he sees them, he gets in the boat. In our times of suffering, in our times of high anxiety, we need to pray that Jesus will show himself and show his power in our lives. But there are times that Jesus is simply going to pass us by and give us encouragement that he's ultimately in control and that he is God. He's not always going to get into the boat and calm the wind. But even in those times, we can take comfort that he is with us and that he is watching over us. God is in Jesus, and Jesus is God, and God takes care of his children. Yet sometimes we miss this. We miss the fact that God's present in our lives. Sometimes we're so focused on the wind, so focused on the storm, so focused on the battle and rowing, working on our own problems, that we miss Jesus' presence. Even here, the disciples didn't fully understand what Jesus was trying to teach them until well after the event. And sometimes it takes perspective and it takes us to get through something, to be able to look back and see how Jesus was with us in the storm. Sometimes it's not until we get back to shore that we can look out and see, yeah, Jesus was there. Jesus passed by me. Because God never leaves us. He never makes us go through these things alone. He's right beside us and wants what's best for us. So in the midst of our struggles, we need to look outside the boat. We need to see Jesus with us. We need to look outside our present circumstances and see that God is with us and that he is ultimately in control. And the question is, can you really do that today? Can you look outside your current struggles, your current worries, your current uncertainties, your current anxiety, and see Jesus? Or are we too focused on the storm? Are we too focused on the wind and the waves? Are we too focused on working our way through it, trying to get through it on our own? Because when we focus on ourselves, we're not focusing on Jesus. We're focusing on the problem in ahead of us instead of focusing on Jesus, where our eyes should be focused, our effort should be focused, our energy should be focused. I said that in Matthew's account, this is where Matthew tells us that Peter walked on water. And he did the same thing. When he was focused on Jesus, he was fine. He was able to walk on the water. But as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the storm and the wind and the waves, he began to sink. Our focus needs to be on Jesus 100% of the time. And when we can do that, when we can focus on Jesus, everything else will fall away. We will be able to get through whatever life throws at us because we know that we have Jesus. The people here cling to Jesus. They seek him out. They come to him for power and for healing. And the question today is, where is your focus? Where are you going to direct your energy and your effort? Because if you're focusing on yourself, you're not focusing on Jesus. And so we need to, as the song says, turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. Because the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus wants to be with us and wants to walk through this with us. And all we need to do is look up, look away from our anxiety, look away from our uncertainty. And you will see that Jesus is right there with us, walking with us step by step, walking through us with us storm by storm, battle by battle. We are not alone. Where will you choose to put your focus, your energy, your effort, your thoughts? I pray that you'll choose to put them on Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.